Hello there, and welcome in to Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, and I'm your host, and my very special guest in the studio with me today, Mr. Al Headley. Hello, Al.
Hello, Chris. How's it going?
Going pretty good, Al. Well, no strange voice to the people around Chilton County with Al Headley, because that voice you've heard many, many years back here on WKLF. He woke the county up quite often.
Yeah.
For quite a few years here at WKLF, and if you don't recognize the voice from there, you probably recognize the voice from MC of the Peach Pageant for many, many years, and we'll talk about those two things in just a few minutes and get a little more into that. Al, right now, your present position, you work with a company called PEG. You want to tell us a little bit about PEG?
Yeah, I'll tell a little bit about PEG. I worked for Wadsworth Oil for about 30 years after I left the radio station, and so stayed off about a year or so, and you and I had some discussions about me getting back into radio,
and we're still waiting for you to come back.
but stayed off about a year, and Alan Payton called me and talked to me about starting a company up there. We're at 219, exit 219 in Jemison, called Payton Equipment Group. And what we do is we rent equipment, and we have a little retail space there now. We decided after we started the renting of the equipment, and actually we started renting back to Chilton Contractors. That was the whole concept of it. We got steel equipment, we've got Milwaukee tools and Makita tools and some hardware items and things like that. So our main purpose was to supply and make sure Chilton Contractors had everything they needed for their various jobs. But meantime, the public's invited up there. We've got steel, like I said, and we got sales and service, and just enjoying what we're doing. It's a great place up there, right off 219. As a matter of fact, I want to mention, I got a picture of it. I'll show you after we get off the air. But that tornado that came through, I don't think it was a tornado, but we were standing and looking out the window and saw that thing go through right over Union Grove. So it was kind of a hairy feeling yesterday. So.
Yeah. Well, I learned something. I didn't know y'all handled Makita power tools. So that's nice to know. That's one of my favorite brand of tool. That's what I have. Let's back up a little bit. Payton Equipment Company, PEG. You see them from interstate. You actually have to go down the foot of the hill and turn on County Road.
On County Road 29.
29 and go just a little ways and then turn back to the left to go up the hill to Payton Equipment Company. You can see them. Just can't get there from here, as the old saying goes.
That's right. It's Alan's old place. That was you can see it from the interstate where he had heavy equipment, and we have some heavy equipment there now, so you can see it. Yeah, you get off and go back toward Jemison on 42 and turn at the bottom of the hill there.
Right there in front of Smoky Hollow.
Right in front of the Smoky Hollow, that's right. And go past the church, the Methodist church on the left, and we're the first on the left. So, yeah, it's easy to get
there. And y'all is a long cutting season comes in. Y'all got quite a good line of riding lawnmowers, and like I say, all the weed eaters and stuff folks need to maintain their property, big or small.
We got grasshopper lawnmowers. You ever heard of grasshopper lawnmowers?
I have.
Grasshopper lawnmowers are well built. They're made out in Kansas. They're a family operation. We have 42, 48, 51, and 61 and 72-inch cut lawnmowers. So, and they're commercial-type lawnmowers. So,
72-inch will cover some ground.
That'll cover some ground. We've sold several of them, and we're trying to get the grasshopper name out. So it's really working out well. I got a good mechanic that we back up what we sell. So,
all right. Speaking of backup, let's back up a few years. When you got out of school, of course, in high school, I remember you when you played football. That's where you picked that name up, Big Al Headley, wasn't
Big
it?
Big Al. Big Al. That's what they, yeah. Everybody had a nickname back then, didn't they?
Yeah, everybody pretty much did. Yeah.
What was your nickname?
Crazy, I guess. I don't know. But I didn't play football, so I didn't get one of those cool school nicknames, I don't guess. But
Coach John McAfee was my high school coach. I know you remember him.
I remember.
He played football at Auburn. And one thing I remember about Coach McAfee, he really thought the world of Coach McAfee, and he would show film of himself when he played at Auburn, and we would be in the film room, or what we'd be in the locker room. We didn't really have a film room. We just
played the film. It was film room.
That's right. We just set the projector up, and Coach McAfee would always tell me that, all right, now, Big Al, look here. This is the way you do it. He'd be showing pictures of himself or film of himself. And, all right, Big Al, this is the way you need to do it. Now, you need to make this block like this or make this tackle like that. And, I played with I just talked to Mike Alexander, and a lot of folks will remember Mike Alexander. Mike just called me yesterday. And about once a year, Mike calls, and we'll talk about an hour and talk about football. And Mike played linebacker. Randall Wyatt and Bo Allen and Thomas Glenn was our quarterback back then. I know I'm going to leave some people out, but that was the class I was in 1968.
Yeah. And when you graduated from school Your first job, where was your first job?
My first job was when I got out of high school and went to Atlanta and went to broadcasting school over there. And, I wanted to be a big-time disc jockey,
So you were one of those professionally trained...
Professionally trained.
Radio pronunciator.
Pronunciator. We had, if folks that are familiar with radio... radio station over in Atlanta, WSB. Mm-hmm. I know you've heard of it. We had the news director was my instructor, Dan Alexander. I'll never forget him. He was he had one of those big booming voices, and everybody tried to emulate him and be as good as he was. But he was really good, and but learned a lot from him. Went to school in the mornings, and we worked. We would go to a radio station in Cartersville, Georgia, in the afternoon and work on the air and play around, do commercials. And so when I got out of school, worked a little bit at that radio station in Cartersville, but my first real job in radio was at WBIB in Centerville, and worked over there for about a year or so. And
that was back when the Talton's still on WBIB, wasn't it?
That's right. Julius Talton bought WBIB. I can't remember who the owner of WBIB was at the time, but he had a radio station in Butler, Alabama. And he bought that from Mr. Talton. And so Mr. Talton asked me if I wanted to move to Selma, and so I did, and worked at WHBB. And my first job was the night shift. From like 6 to 10 at night, and so that was it was a learning experience. I really enjoyed it.
And you stayed there up until early 70s, and then you came to good old WKLF.
Came to WKLF. Jack called me and wanted to know if I was interested in coming back home, so I did, and worked the night shift here for a while, and then gradually went on up to...
you did sign on for most of the time you were here, didn't you?
Did sign on. And
those were the days when AM was king and FM was the side thought. And
that's right.
AM signed on at sunrise and signed off at sunset, which we still do.
Yeah.
And you'd have to come in and get things fired up and let old Bertha warm up. And
don't have to worry about that now, do you?
No, just a flip switch and it's instantly on now. But, I know you woke the county up for many years here at WKLF.
Well, back when, and of course everybody remembers Buck Littleton. I mean, who doesn't remember Buck? I mean, Buck was here and... you remember Billy Childers?
I do.
And Billy worked Sunday mornings from 5 to 7. He did the Isaac Campbell Hour. You remember the Isaac Campbell Hour? What a super guy Isaac was out in the Campbell community. He had a little store out there, a little mm-hmm. convenience store, and always. Look forward to the fall and winter. Isaac would kill hogs, and he would always give me some pork chops and bacon and stuff like that. And it was just super great times. Just enjoyed it.
Right. It's always fun to be in radio. You don't make any money, but you have a lot of fun.
That's right. It's got to be in your blood, doesn't it?
And you don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps. And I think Roger said when he started working here, Buck told him you didn't have to be crazy to work here, but we train you. And well, you stayed here at KLF from early 70s on up until what did you leave? What year did you leave KLF?
Was it 1989? I think 1989, somewhere around there.
Your while, and what, you left here, and went to work with.
Went to work for Wadsworth Oil.
I thought you worked at the bank a little while.
I did. Worked for the bank for a little while, and then went to work for Jim, and I met Jim playing Upward Bound basketball. Not Upward Bound, but Slow Break basketball. We played slow break basketball with the YMCA and met Jim, and of course had a long 30-year career with Jim. And Jim sold out to Circle K, and so that's when I retired and stayed off a little while and went back to work.
And you just went back to work the wrong job. You were supposed to come back right behind this microphone, but You've had a good run in radio and a good time in radio. I didn't realize that you had went to the school in Atlanta, so I didn't realize that you were also one of those professionally trained radio pronunciators like Craig Rogers, one of those that does our Saturday evening Rogers Rockin' Oldies. I thought he was the only trained pronunciator we had around here, so we got two professionally trained radio pronunciators in the county. And but anyway, it's good to have you back in the studio. You spent a lot of hours in this room, as I did back down through time. You've got more hours in here than I have.
I was looking at the studio, and it just brings back a lot of memories. It just basically you have. I mean, this is the same desk, right?
It is. It's the same desk.
Same console.
Look at it good, because this year, hopefully, it's gone and new console coming in. Was this console the one that was here when you left?
It was.
Yeah, this one was put in. This one was retired from the station in Montgomery and resurrected here. And what's cool is the one we're fixing to replace this one with. Guess what? It came from the same place this one came from. We're recycling from there. So
some folks, Chris, I'm going to mention this. I worked with Sammy George over at WHBB in Selma, and some people might remember him as being the sideline announcer for the Auburn Tigers can I say the station in Montgomery, WLWI?
Yeah. We're all friends and family.
They were all friends and family. But Sammy was a salesman for them, but he did the sideline reporting for the Auburn Tigers for a long time. But Sammy was a good buddy, and tried to get Sammy to come to here, but he stayed in Montgomery, and now is up in Chattanooga. So.
Let's mention another thing that you're heavily involved in. As I mentioned earlier in a broadcast, that you know, your voice not only familiar from being here on air in WKLF, but even since you left WKLF and for the last 30 years while you were working with Wadsworth, your voice was still a recognizable voice in the county, because you've emceed the Peach Pageant for quite a few years, close to 50 years.
How long 50 years.
50 years, exactly. I was thinking it was somewhere right in that neighborhood.
50 years, it sure has.
And you've called off a lot of beautiful ladies' names in our county down through the years.
I sure have. It's one of those, it's like being a teacher. I mean, and you know this, I mean, now their grandchildren are coming through as contestants. But, yeah, there's some stories about the Peach Pageant. MC'd every 4 years since 1972, I think. And those four years, I was the chairman of it. I was in the JCs, started out in the JCs, and Ken Messer got me to join the JCs and got me to MC the Peach Pageant. And back then, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, you well know, you well, you know this, that it's you can get behind this microphone and talk, but when you get before people, I mean, it's a lot different. But I was scared the first time I did that Peach Pageant. Ken told me, you'll be okay. You know, you'll be fine. And so I did. But the first couple of times, I mean, I was really nervous. But
you get some of those strange names that come through nowadays, for sure. I mean, back when 50 years ago, it was Susie and Ann and Jane, and now you got some of these names that I don't know how these parents come up with. And
that's true.
And you try to pronounce them. I know back when I was teaching, I would try one and I'll be 100 miles off from it, and then the kid just yell, no, that's not the way you say it, you know. And, of course, you're up there in front of 600 people calling the name out.
And I have help from my granddaughter, Callie, that she helps me. She helps me with those pronunciations. So that's the big deal between us every year. She helps me go through the book, make sure I got all the names down right. So, but I like to tell this story about, do you remember Cousin Cliff?
Oh, yeah, I do. I remember Cliff. He emceed the Peach Festival.
He emceed
at a time, too.
One of the years that I was chairman of it and didn't emcee it, I got Cousin Cliff to emcee it, and that went over really well.
Cliff Holman, wonderful guy.
Cousin Cliff Holman. In later years, I had a neighbor lived across the street from me, and I happened to walk outside one Saturday afternoon, and they had two young sons, and I looked over and I thought, well, that's Cousin Cliff. I believe that is Cousin Cliff. And so I walked over, and he had his wife with him, and I walked over and I said, Cousin Cliff, yeah, how you doing, you know? And you know, he introduced myself, and he was doing a birthday party for these my neighbor's sons, and just had a good conversation with him. And he remembered, of course, he told me he remembered doing the peach pageant, and I'm sure he did. He was just a super nice guy.
Yeah, he was, a lot of people didn't realize he was also a politician. He was in Vestavia, I think he was city council. He may have served as mayor one term, but I know he was city council, I think, in Vestavia.
I didn't know that.
I remember Dad and him having a conversation. He was left back when Dad was city council, I think, that when he came to the Peach Festival, and because they had to talk about they had met I guess at one of the city what do you get together whatever when the different city council would go get together for statewide meeting,
some kind of convention or something,
convention or whatever. But Cliff Holman, a real interesting guy. I watched him many years on the on TV.
I did too.
Watched the cartoons after school, and watched him advertise Jack's Hamburgers for 15 cents. So good. You'll go back to Jack's for more.
Jack's is doing that commercial again. I heard it the other day.
Long time since but they don't have that 15 cents in there.
Not 15 cents.
Maybe $1.50 if they got them on sale. But
well, Cousin Cliff, and you remember Benny Carl? Benny Carl was on he had a children's show.
We watched
just the good
Cousin
old
Cliff and Bozo the Clown, and they'd all host the cartoon shows after school, and we'd watch the monkeys.
Well, one other thing that happened at the Peach Pageant, we had and they did a pretty good job, but one year I got Patty and the Doc to do
WZZK.
From WZZK to emcee it. And back then it was two nights. It's four nights now. But it was two nights on Thursday and Friday night. And Patty and the Doc would show up right as like 2 minutes before it started, you know. And they didn't know names. They just murdered, you know, names and some of the parents really got upset about that, but it all worked out though.
Yeah, they were the Big E radio stars, and I understand from some of the broadcast stuff I've been to, where in fact I have been to a couple. I went to one this last year called the Legends of Broadcast, which actually my name's on that sign-up list.
Well,
for that.
Congratulations.
And at the Alabama Radio Historical Society, and there was some of the guys that that worked at the station with Patty and I've heard all kinds of stories about her. She was a hoot, an interesting lady, and I understand was one of the best copywriters that's ever crossed through Birmingham radio market. But she'd liable to come to work in a nightgown if she has had a ball gown. she was a hoot from what
I heard they were both of them were characters and they did a good job, but they just came unprepared that night, both nights.
Kind of like Buck said, you don't have to be crazy in radio, but we'll teach you. So they were there. So you've had an interesting career, starting out from broadcasting and a little stint at the bank. The little stint you had at the bank, you kind of, that was kind of a tough job, wasn't it? And you were kind of in the collection side.
I was. that's one of those jobs, why did I do this? But
anyway, you go, you know when you get there, they won't hide from you when you're coming, and they're going to hate you when you find them.
But there were some good folks there with Johnny McKinney. Of course, everybody knows Johnny McKinney and Richard Moore and Ken Patterson and Betty Cook and all those folks. And
he had some good folks to work with. Just had a tough job to do.
Just had a tough job.
Side of the job was.
That job did not last too long, so needless to say.
Well, when you went to work with Jim Wadsworth, you were able to do what one of the things that you loved doing, and that's getting out and being around people.
I did. I really enjoyed supervising. Jim had 10 stores, and supervised 10 managers, and we had about 100 employees, and we emphasized customer service and how people make your business, and you know that. I mean, you got to have good folks working for you. But that's what we always emphasized at those convenience stores. We had them. Jim had two here in Clanton, one in Pelham, one over in McCalla, one in Bessemer, one over in Leeds, Alabama, in Pell City and Coleman. So he had them scattered around. And
had one in Calera, too, didn't he?
Had one in Calera, that's right. Left Calera out, sure did. And we all hated the day that he sold out to Circle K, but we all knew it was coming. One day he was going to get out of it. Good things have to come to an end. But we had some good folks in the office. Terry Carroll. Terry is a little bit younger than me, but he went on and got another job. And Lisa Taylor, she's working for the city now. So Jeff Maddox is a truck driver. He went on and he's working for same type company in Birmingham. So, everybody just moved on, and Jim's retired and doing his thing. So, we're all happy for him, though.
Jim was fairly active in the community as well, and
he was
and promoted folks working for him being active in the community, and that's good. And you've always kind of been in the community. While you were here at KLF, you not only did the morning show, but you also did a lot of sales calls, too.
Yeah, I did. And, that's probably the best part. I enjoyed being on the radio, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris, because back then we had routes. And I typically had the northern end of the county. And I had a few over here and a few in Clanton, but mostly around Thorsby and Jemison, Montevallo, Calera, over in Maplesville. So, and I was thinking about that the other day, Mr. Cobb up at Cobb Hardware in Jemison. Mm-hmm. You remember him?
I remember Cobb Hardware.
What some super people they were, and just a good advertiser and Landsmart.
Yeah, I passed by, went up past the old Landmart the other day and thought about Larry and Pat. He sold a bunch of stuff.
He sold.
If he could make a dollar on it, Larry had it for sale. Fireworks, CB radios, car stereo parts, groceries, gas, and they always had the best gas prices in the county.
He sure did.
There.
Just loved to call on Larry. Just a super guy, him and his wife, Pat. And and his favorite saying was, "When if he agreed with you, it was all right you are."
Yep.
Right you are.
Well, I assume since you had Calera too, Bobby Bowden probably was on your
Bobby Bowden
account.
Bobby Bowden. Yeah. Bobby, and Bobby would come down and cut his own spots, and people remember Bobby being on the radio, and I'm not sure if Bobby's still with us or not.
I really don't know.
I'm not sure. I know he sold out.
Everything in that store ended in 88 cents.
And I asked Bobby one time why it ended in 88 cents, and he said, "That's profit. That's my profit, Al."
The 88 cents is the profit.
That's right.
And probably the 88 cents was the cost, and the others the profit.
There you go.
But he was a good businessman and did a lot of advertising here on WKLF.
He sure did.
Through the years. And one of those examples, the advertising pays and still does.
That's right, because we're talking about it right now. That's right.
And you still remember, that. Mm-hmm. Folks don't realize advertising is all about everybody's trying to get their brand or their name stuck in your head. So that when you need the product that's they're related to, that's the name that comes to mind. And that 88 cents, that was a thing that you remembered. And if you needed furniture, you heard Bobby Bowden on WKLF and you thought about, hey, we need to go up to Bowden's and Clear and check, because he's got that dinette set for $89.88.
Bobby would come by on Sunday mornings and cut his spots, and he would walk in, and he had a sidekick with him. I can't remember his name now. It's John. His name was John. I can't remember John's last name, but he would always come in. I can see him coming in the door right now with his guitar, and it'd have about two or three strings on it, and he'd get back there and try to tune it.
Nowhere in tune, and no known note to man, but it was going to be 88 cents.
That's right.
And he gets your attention. I mean, it's one of those things that just gets your attention and keeps your attention. Well, Al, we're about to burn up our time. We got about four more minutes to go here.
I can't believe we've talked to 30 minutes. I was worried we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Time flies when you're having fun. I thought of something else. Oh, I was gonna ask you about while you were at WKLF. Probably one of your memories is doing the Peach Parade and the Christmas Parade.
Oh my goodness! Broadcast. We would broadcast anything, Chris. You know that. We would broadcast. Anything that would come up, anything we could sell, we would broadcast it, and broadcasting the parade and
up on the top of People's Southern Bank.
Up on top of People's Southern Bank and
looking down on 31.
Sometimes in the back of a pickup truck, we'd be on the side of the road. I remember Gibson's downtown Clanton.
Yeah.
We'd be on the back of Jack's pickup and broadcasting. But yeah, those were the good days. And You had to really think of a lot of things to say in a parade.
and election returns. Of course, WKLF's done election returns, I guess, pretty much since it went on the air in 47. 47 missed that election, so 48 would have been the first election. And I imagine if it was done, I wasn't around in 48 to know, but I would imagine that it was done live right here on WKLF, because I do remember in the 60s when my granddad was in politics, I remember sitting in the living room listening to election returns on WKLF, and everybody would have a notepad writing down what the numbers were from each beat and each box, and they were called out as they came in. Every one of them read individual.
We used to have I can remember back when, and we used to broadcast, we'd broadcast Alabama and Auburn, we'd broadcast Alabama on FM and Auburn on AM, or vice versa. And I can remember specifically when Alabama played Southern Cal back in 1971. That was a big game. We had a crowd out here in the lobby listening to the there were probably 15 or 20 people out in the lobby listening to the game out on the speaker.
Yeah.
So
a lot of good times here at WKLF. Well, we are running down the countdown pretty close to 30 minutes, so we'll go ahead and I'll say thank you so much for joining us. we will do this again, Al.
Good, yeah.
This is our town because you were a good part of our town down through history. And,
yeah.
Pete's Talk, This Is Our Town, is turning into a pretty interesting little program.
Sure
so
is.
So thank you so much for joining me. This is Chris Johnson. Thank you for your time and for joining us right here on WKLF 95.5 and, of course, worldwide at WKLFradio.com. Tune in again next Friday morning and the replay on Sunday afternoons for Peach Talk. This is Our Town on WKLF Clapham.